Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll take it.
It was worth it.
It was worth it.
It was worth it.
I'll do it. I'll deal. I'm in. I'll deal.
I'm on board.
Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast, where we recap the good and bad of this weekend. There's some things that I'm angry about.
Yes.
But there is also a Rasmus Dahlin. Derek Kramer. And Frank Arcuri. On cloud nine, here on the Leftovers Podcast, because for every QB6 that's taken at seventh overall,
yeah,
there is a Rasmus Dahlin.
Rasmus Dahlin is a Saber.
That's awesome.
Okay,
we'll get more.
All right,
we'll get more into the NFL draft in a bit. We're going to be calling up Jeff Lloyd, Locked On Browns podcast.
It's going to be great.
And we'll be talking with him about the NFL draft. So thank you, as always, for listening to the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. I'm Derek.
I'm Frank.
We're happy.
Very happy.
We are happy. I worked way too much over draft weekend for the NFL draft. And I woke up this morning to my phone blowing up.
Your phone blew up?
It blew up. With texts.
Okay.
And Snapchats and tweets.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
And the first one I saw was from my buddy, and it said, in all caps, America. Now, there's no context to that. I don't know why he decided that was the celebratory word of choice, because the guy's a Swede. But when I saw that text, I go, oh, God. They didn't. They did? Okay. For all the frustration that I have over Josh Allen being a Buffalo Bill over Josh Rosen, and that's my biggest problem, is that Josh Rosen was still there. And the fact that I had the dream that we could have Rosen and Dahlin, I'll take it. One out of two is not bad.
I was here. When it happened.
When Brayton and Joe were hosting
Brayton and Joe were doing the coverage. I was doing my normal shift at WBEN. And when the second intermission of Vegas-San Jose finally happened.
I'm glad.
Those are the longest two periods I've ever watched of hockey. I went into the studio with Brayton. And Joe was in the control room with his brother Lou. And we were all watching it. We see Montreal, we're just like, oh.
Yes.
We're just like getting ready, because it's like, even if they don't get the first pick, it's like, oh, Svechnikov at the worst? Mm-hmm. That's pretty great, because he's going to be a great player.
I'm glad I was asleep, because the stress would figuratively have killed me.
And then they flipped over the one card for Buffalo, and all four of us just started screaming. I quickly left the studio for Brayton because he had to go back on to continue the coverage. But I ran right back into the WBEN studio to check my Twitter, because I left Twitter up on the computer there. And just to see all of the tweets of, oh my God, Dahlin, Sabres win the lottery. And I was freaking out, like, this really happened. They finally won the lottery.
It's not just that they won the lottery. They could have won the lottery with McDavid, but everyone knew what was at stake there. It was a guarantee of at least getting Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
And the year before that, it was Ekblad, Reinhardt, Draisaitl at
really
the top.
It was really the debate of the two Sams and Draisaitl.
Yes, but the real big thing here is that the biggest deal about this lottery is that it's Dahlin, then Svechnikov, than everyone else.
Pretty much.
You didn't want to go to four here because Dahlin was the guy. There was no consolation prize that was on that level like Eichel was to
There's not an Eichel-level consolation. However, had they been at four, I would be the first to say
if they went
Quinn
to two,
Hughes is a if they went to four, I would be the first to say Quinn Hughes is going to be a fantastic player in this league. But he's not Rasmus Dahlin. It's not the consolation was not on the Eichel level, but you're still getting a fantastic player. However, this time you're getting the guy.
You're getting the top.
The generational. He's a generational talent. We have to know this. He's a generational defenseman.
We got
those do not come around often. Craig Button literally has said he might be the best defenseman to come into the draft since Dennis Potvin in 1973.
Denny Potvin, really?
Coming into the draft. We have to remember, like, the top defenseman coming into the draft. We know we got, obviously, you know, we got Nicholas Lidstrom, but Nicholas Lidstrom was a third-round pick
but
who
now,
just became the, one of the best of all time.
Now, look at players that were taken within, like, the top two picks that were defenseman kind of guys. Like Aaron Ekblad is your most recent
pick. He's considered probably that
he's a franchise cornerstone.
He's a franchise, yes.
And he is a number one overall defenseman,
yes.
But he's really awesome.
Dahlin's better.
Victor Hedman.
Dahlin's better.
Then Hedman.
Yes.
I think Victor Hedman's a freak.
Victor Hedman is a
Victor freak. Hedman is a Victor test Hedman. Tube baby. He does not have real parents.
Victor Hedman is a fantastic, one of the best two-way defensemen who can move, who's got a great shot, easily number one defenseman in this league.
A franchise cornerstone defenseman.
Yes. Dahlin is generational.
Can he?
He's a step above them.
My question
in terms of where they are at this age, at Dahlin's age right now, which is he just turned 18, he is better than where Aaron Ekblad was, better than where Victor Hedman was,
better than where Drew Doughty was.
Yes.
Okay, I got my one question for you because I haven't watched enough of
because you got to remember too, if those three defensemen we named, besides Aaron Ekblad going first overall, if Drew Doughty and Victor Hedman were the generational type defensemen, they easily would have went number one overall in their respective draft years, but they didn't.
Hedman did.
No, he didn't. He was the second pick.
Oh, who was the first then?
That was the John Tavares.
Oh, that's
he would have went over John Tavares. John Tavares wasn't looked at as a generational talent.
He was
Steven
looked at
Stamkos
as a franchise
was,
center.
Yeah, two franchise centers went first over the franchise defenseman. But if you're the generational type, you get put above the franchise.
I think those guys
no
are both
what.
Generational. Like JT and Hedman, that's like a coin flip. Same with Stamkos
it might
and
be
Doughty.
It might be a coin flip based on what your team needed. At the time for Tampa, though, I mean,
you could study
for all they know, they could have went with Drew Doughty that year, and they'd probably be talking something different.
Could you imagine? Like, that
but
so
even
strange.
So,
with,
even so,
Tampa with JT and
way,
Doughty instead
well,
of Hedman and Stamkos?
Even so? Even so?
Still awesome.
Yeah. Dahlin is looked at as above those guys from where they were at their ages. You have to remember, this is about Hedman at 18 years old and Drew Doughty at 18 years old.
So how big is he?
Dahlin?
Yeah.
6'2", I believe. You think he's... I'm going to double check real quick. But I'm pretty sure he's like 6'2", 200, between like 200 to 210, something like that.
So he could throw it around, is what you're telling me.
What I'm telling you is that...
Because that's why I think Hedman is amazing, is that he not only is that guy that can move the puck and score and is great with everything, he can throw down.
Okay,
he can throw his
Dahlin
body around.
On, according to EliteProspects.com, Rasmus Dahlin is listed at 6'2", 183.
Okay, so he does need some... He
but
could
he,
use
he
some
has been reported to be have put on a lot of muscle.
I was going to say
like at least 25 pounds worth.
So he could bulk, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
But he's being looked at as better than where guys like Drew Doughty and Victor Hedman and Aaron Ekblad were at 18 years old, at 17 to 18 years old. That's my point. Will he become, you know, will he be way, way better than Hedman, Doughty, Ekblad? Well, to be fair, that's yet to be seen, but it really looks like that's the case.
Right. Okay.
But he's being looked at as on a better path than where these guys were. That's why I say a step above. Even Nicholas Lidstrom has said himself, he looks to be on a better path than where I was at his age. Where Lidstrom was at his age, he's saying that Dahlin is looking better than where he was. And Nicholas Lidstrom probably is the greatest defenseman of all time, next to Bobby Orr. So if you got one of the greatest telling you you're looking better than where he was at the same age, you're in some good company. And he's coming to Buffalo.
Okay, yeah.
He's coming to Buffalo.
Okay. All right. No, this is awesome.
We deserve this.
The funny thing is, they finally built a roster that wasn't meant to lose on purpose. And now they win it.
Yeah. I'll go out on a limb and say it probably is a result of the kind of culture change that Boutro wants. He's not trying to build a losing culture. Tim Murray kind of did that by tanking. You were getting rid of any good players. You were trying to keep as many young players in the minors so that you could lose, so that you could guarantee. I mean, and to be fair, you did it because you guaranteed yourself at worst Jack Eichel, and it worked. Great. But you didn't.
But at the same time,
you didn't build off of it.
It was also luck. There's luck involved.
You need
here.
Luck. Oh, okay. You always need luck.
Hell, we had less of a chance of getting this pick.
Yeah, but you need luck. In the NHL, you need luck a lot more than you think in the NHL in every aspect. You need it.
Goals.
Yes. Winning games. All it takes is one bad bounce and you can lose a game.
Saves.
One bad bounce is all it takes. There is, and even in drafting, you got to be lucky with your picks.
Well, you got to be able to hit too. I mean,
that's what I mean. It sometimes it takes a bit of luck to get with
that. There's some luck involved, but at the same time, you got to be able to hit.
Sometimes you got to be lucky on trades. Sometimes you got to be lucky in free agency. There's a lot of luck involved in the NHL, and it finally went the Sabres' way. Rasmus Dahlin is a Sabre. Oh.
Now we don't. The best part about this is now we don't really have to look into the draft prospects. Of the first round. We don't have to look at it. We don't have to say, hey, who are they drafting fourth overall? Hey, what's their upside? How long will it be before they get into the league? We can just straight up say it.
Rasmus Dahlin.
We got
the guy.
We fixed the defense.
We got the guy. We did it. They got the guy.
We just fixed the defense, guys. It's over. Everyone can go home. There is one question, though, Frank.
What's that?
Who gets dealt? Because if I project my top six like this, it would probably be Dahlin, Risto, Scandella, McCabe/Bogosian, Gooley, Nelson. So Beaulieu's got to be gone.
Beaulieu, I could see them giving another opportunity.
But then what about
a seventh defenseman?
And then there's McCabe and Bogosian.
I think what they're going to try to do is they may try to deal Bogosian, if not buy him out.
So a buyout. How would that help? How would that hit?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that.
That's topic for another day.
Yeah.
But who's your guy out if you're going to say any of them?
Probably McCabe.
It's a team-friendly contract, so there's a lot more value.
There's value into it. He is coming off the injury, so that could be worrisome. But if there is a defenseman that they do have to trade, I think Jake McCabe is the more likely guy. If you're getting, assuming that they're going to try to get like another scoring winger.
You could use some help in the top nine.
So I would expect if that would be.
If you trade McCabe,
I would expect that would be more the case. However, I could also see them not trading McCabe and just trying to build as best of a defense as you can, because Jake McCabe is still a good defenseman. He's still good. He just, you know, he had a bad year. Everyone had a bad year and he got hurt and that didn't help. It was a shoulder injury. That never helps.
Yeah.
So I want to see what he is coming back from his injury. So I can see them holding on to McCabe for another year. Bogosian, I think, more likely is the odd guy out. He may even be put on waivers, which would not help in terms of money. But if he's not good enough to be here, he either gets traded, and you may have to give something up in order to trade him. Like a prospect, and just be lucky you get like a pick back, or he gets put on waivers and likely gets sent to Rochester, or maybe even takes the Matt Molson route and gets loaned to another team.
I would not want that, because Bogosian's not that terrible.
He's not bad. It's just he's always hurt.
Right. All right, so look.
It's finally happened. Dahlin is a Sabre. They drafted Allen. A lot of people are salty about it still. Some people aren't. A lot of people love it.
Use me to melt the ice. Because I'm salty as stuff.
I think it's time to get Jeff Lloyd on.
All right, yeah, Frank, I think it is a fantastic idea here to get Jeff Lloyd on. Locked On Browns podcast, a draft aficionado and a good friend of several of ours at WGR. So, Jeff, it's Derek and Frank, and, dude, what a crazy weekend.
Look, every weekend, every draft weekend is crazy. And this is actually the funniest thing. Is I was doing a show. I have a couple of guys I've been friends with for years. And, like, normally I get, like, I always get a little butterflies. I mean, hell, this is a decision that's going to affect your franchise for 5 to 10 years. And, you know, then about the 13th pick, my stomach was just violently ill. And then I'm sitting there, literally, I'm watching through the mirror in my bathroom off the reflection of the TV. And I'm just, this is just strange. So many guys were available early day two that should have gone day one. Pittsburgh Steelers took a safety that was maybe top 75 in round one. It was just so many oddities. You know, like I was telling you guys before we hit the record button, if anyone in New Orleans can explain what the hell the draft they just did and lost their 19th first round pick in the process, it just sometimes you just sit there and you just got to shake your head.
I guess it could be worse. I mean, I was Thursday night. I mean, Frank has a recorded video of this of me. I was pretty down in the dark, Jeff. I was down in the depths because you and I were tweeting. You know, we were messaging each other, and you had even said everyone's trying to avoid the Allen bomb. And at number 7, I was off by 3 letters. Man, I had it mocked. The Bills were going to trade to 7. They were going to exchange with Tampa. They were going to keep 22, and they were going to take Josh. Oh, you took Allen. So I was pretty down in the dumps over the weekend, and I played nice. And it's you know what? I'm going to play nice again here, Jeff. I've kind of backed down from the ledge that I was on Thursday. I'm kind of like – I'm not as much in despair anymore. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds was a great way to help cheer me up. But, I mean, from what you've seen and from what everyone has been saying, help a brother out here.
Well, look, you got to go back to what the positives are. You know, the guy's got a rocket arm. He can make some throws that are just going to absolutely wow you at times. But the biggest problem, and this is what, you know, basically all of us had, other than maybe the Mel Kuypers and the few who were on it, is, you know, there's intricacies to playing the game. You've got to be able to read quickly. Now, you know, being a slow reader of things, you know, when you're playing in the conference that he was playing in, certainly doesn't help. I mean, if it was an SEC thing, you'd say, oh, well, maybe there's a shot there. You're going to have to trust your staff and your organization here. I mean, you know, as crazy as it thinks, you know, the team traded up to get a quarterback at 7, and that quarterback wasn't Josh Rosen, it was Josh Allen. I mean, it's going to be a head-scratcher, and, you know, this is something the Bills fans can roll with and laugh about in 3 years and say, man, everybody in the world thought it. Or it's, you know, in 3 years, it could be, you know, on to the next guy. You look at a quarterback room of A.J. McCarron, Peterman, and Josh Allen. You wonder, the correct thing with Josh Allen is not to push him. He shouldn't be starting right away. You know, most likely shouldn't be playing as a rookie at all. But you look at what else is going on in that room, you know, I don't know what gives you such, you know, cause to think that he's going to get the time he needs, which could be the ultimate mistake. Look, if you end up sitting him and he gets some time, you know, to watch and hopefully pick up some things, you know, maybe something's there, but, you know, sometimes, you know, and, you know, Derek, I think you put out the mock for WGR that had him going 1 to Cleveland.
Yes,
sure
I did.
It was you, I think. Yeah, I noted that one. Kind of thought that one came back to bite you around. At the end of the day, I took notes on that one. You definitely got the office gift
Nothing personal. I was just trying to get him out of my board.
I can't believe, exactly. I mean, did anybody put Josh Allen to a team that they like? No, nobody did that.
We'll give him to Arizona. We'll give him to the Jets. Definitely the Jets.
I was hoping Arizona. It was the Jets.
Arizona was one team who wanted him. I mean, at the end of the day, Arizona was like, wow, we wanted Josh Allen. We're totally cool. And we couldn't get him. All right. I guess we'll take Josh Rosen.
You know what? First off, Jeff, thanks for being one of like three people to look at my mock.
I was the other one,
and I think some guy decided he wanted to laugh at someone and looked at my mock too. So there's three, but no, seriously though, I mean, it all started, and I think it all kind of went nowhere the way I thought it was going to with Cleveland. And I mean, you're the guy with the Locked On Browns, and Baker Mayfield, what are your thoughts on what you got there at pick one?
I mean, I guess it was about 24 hours before, when it really started to break, and that's when it was just like, all right, this isn't talk anymore. This is happening. And the reason, and everybody kind of tried to still doubt it, when it leaked on Wednesday, Baker Mayfield wasn't going to be there, had every intention of being at home. So, once it was saying that he was going to be there, you knew it was legitimate. Because, the way they filmed this and, they want him, they weren't going to send over, four different boxes of team paraphernalia. You knew there were legs to it. And it was legitimate. I think what did they actually end up going that way for? The accuracy, the playmaking ability, the most ready to see the field now, I think is probably what took over. Obviously, Scott McClune, he basically started the Baker Mayfield train, and he started it as far back as early as November. I think at the end of the day, they just went for the guy they felt was most ready, as opposed to saying, well, if he can do this, or he can do this, or he can do this. Basically, the only thing you could knock Baker Mayfield on was that he's 6'5" tall. He was no taller than that. Everybody else was the perfect size you were looking for. You want a guy who's going to come to a city like Cleveland where it's 1-31 and he's got some pizzazz to him. He's got some I don't care. I'm going to come in and I'm going to give you everything I've got. So I do like it. He's definitely going to be a great guy to get to cover for, this time that he's here. I'm looking forward to that. It is going to be interesting, though, that it was all the talk of him becoming a Jet and Sam Darnold becoming a Bill, and it basically just went complete flip-flop. That's going to be a pretty fascinating thing to watch over the next decade. To see, which guy takes his team further, and, is the other team going to say, well, man, maybe we didn't get the guy we wanted or the guy we were hoping for.
Jeff, what about Denzel Ward going at 4?
Yeah, what happened there, man?
I got to be honest with you. It was interesting. And it's not that, I was a huge Jair Alexander fan.
CB1.
Yes, he was.
CB1.
Denzel Ward. Absolutely. There was nothing wrong with Denzel Ward. And I even said to guys, look, I like Jairee better. If you like Denzel better, look, this isn't – it wasn't the argument I was going to have. I mean, he was literally splitting hairs at that point. There's been a lot of talk, and I know a lot of the Ohio State fans who are Cleveland Brown fans have been aggravated for a long time that this franchise has overlooked any of those players. So you went out and you got yourself a guy who turned 21 years old on Saturday. The tape was great. The one thing that concerned you a tiny bit was the fact that he's kind of slender. A.J. Green does not look like a guy, where the matchup's going to be so great. So, that's some concerns you have. What made them do it over Bradley Chubb? I think maybe at the end of the day, it was Bradley Chubb's, three cone time and not being a super elite athlete. Miles Garrett, ridiculously good athlete. Emmanuel Ogbah, people underestimated, but is a very good athlete. Larry Ogunjobi, who they took last year, another guy who is a really, really good athlete. We knew corner was something the Browns were going to address. They signed a bunch of guys, but every contract that they gave to a player is something they could have easily gotten out of in 2019. Obviously there's a lot of talk that the coaching staff is there now, unless something miraculous happens. They're not going to be there for 19. But I think Denzel Ward was a guy that they said, look, we don't have a CB1 in the building. We're going to take a cornerback one. And Denzel Ward, he'll work with whatever scheme you put him in. So it's not an issue with that. He'll get a little dirty. He doesn't mind tackling. I just thought that regardless, this was a guy that they figured is a cornerback one going further. And it doesn't matter if they're going to change coaching staffs and a defense coordinator comes in with a different system. it's weird that they kind of basically punted on it for the rest of the the rest of the draft, because there were names that kept lining up that would have been really good guys to address the pass rush. It's kind of interesting that they went the approach they did, but I can't argue with these first four selections. I mean, this franchise has just really, really done a great job in putting themselves, to get the stake of 1-31 out of here.
Yeah, not to mention, you just mentioned it. Those first four selections, you had Austin Corbett there, the guard out of Nevada, the running back Nick Chubb. So, mm-hmm. You didn't get Bradley Chubb, but you got Nick Chubb, and that's a pretty solid consolation there. If you're getting a Chubb, well, you got a pretty good one there too. So, you help solidify the run game there a little bit and help out the offensive line. You can always get yourself a nice offensive lineman.
Yeah, the thing was, there were a couple of things. Look, nobody was really high on this tackle class to begin with. And the way it lined up for Cleveland, there was, if there was it's a decent tackle class, taking offensive tackle with four, there's really nothing wrong with that. That's usually in the area, you'll start to see the first one go. There was nobody worthy of it. They were pretty content on keeping 1-4, which was basically going to take them out, because then when you were coming around, with second round, the only guys that maybe you thought could start right away were going to be gone. What you like about Corbett is you can play a little bit of everything. So I think what they're bringing in, the thought process is look, right now we've got six guys we really like. Somehow, some way, we're going to put together an offensive line of five. He's not going to have to, hopefully, if he's not starting at left tackle right away, he's not going to have to deal with, questions every day from media members. How does it feel like to be taking over for Joe Thomas? Which is, you don't want to put on a kid. So, Sean Coleman still could end up starting there. I don't know if Corbett could beat him out right off the jump, but I think they put themselves in a spot where they have six guys they really, really like. There's still a little chatter. Batonio could go back to left tackle, because that's obviously where he came from in college. So I think they have six guys for five spots, and they're just going to go to work, and let's see who wins out.
That's always a great approach, and as someone that now has no Eric Wood, no Cordy Glenn, and no Richie Incognito, I'm definitely jealous. But
yeah, it was a tough loss. That was a tough all season to lose an offensive line like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I gotta say though, Wyatt Teller, that's probably one of the better value picks that I'm seeing from a lot of the draft Twitter community there, Jeff, and so it's making me feel a little better hearing those words from guys like John Ledyard or Kyle Crabbe saying this guy is an absolute bully. So I'm feeling okay there. But Jeff, outside of the Saints, were there other teams with some major head scratches? For me, it was the Raiders until they took Maurice Hurst.
Yeah, the Raiders, look, everything the Raiders have done this offseason has literally just been, what is going on?
They traded up for a punter, man.
They traded up for a punter. I will also give them credit, getting Ryan Switzer for Jahad Ward, who's done nothing in Oakland. That actually was not a bad move there.
Mm-hmm.
But, now you look at it. Look, Maurice Hurst, someone, similar to Hank Gathers. So me personally, that was, look, I can't draft the kid. I just can't do it because, I can't have that on my conscience. I just can't. And apparently, if he does need the procedure to fix his heart, he's automatically never playing sports again. So, I guess maybe you take the gamble, maybe seventh round. I don't know if I would have done it fifth round. Harden Key, this is the ultimate boom or bust. Harden Key could be a Raider for 1 year. He could be a Raider for seven. Harden Key, look, you're here now. You kind of did whatever you did in college, screwing around wise, weight up, weight down, not paying attention, not focused, thoughts off the field as opposed to on the field. You're here now. You're going to play opposite Khalil Mack. Everything's in front of you. Put the excuses away. Put the childish crap away. Go play ball. I like their last two draft picks. I like Azeem Victor out of Washington. He's another one you're a little concerned with. His career off the field was an issue at times at Washington. Always loved the player on field. And Marcel Aitman. It's interesting. There were guys who tried to tell you Marcel Aitman was the better receiver at Oklahoma State over James Washington.
No.
That's not true. That's not true. He was a very nice complimentary piece. But he's got nice size to him. He's got a nice catch radius to him. To get a guy like that in the seventh round, I think is a nice pick. Me, I will never, ever in my life spend a draft choice on a punter or a kicker. How many teams do you see by week two or week three have already jettisoned the punter they had or the kicker they had to find one off the street So, you know, to spend draft capital on that, when, I mean, you know, any guy on day three could turn out to be a nice player for you for 4 or 5 years. So I'll never understand it from that standpoint. But, you know, definitely, you know, overall the Raiders. You know, PJ Hall, actually, second round of the Sam Houston State. This is a name that a lot of guys liked. But second round, it was like, well, here's a guy out of Sam Houston State. But the production he put up is absolutely ridiculous. So it'll be interesting how he plays out. You know, maybe you would like him in a spot where he's not got, you know, this much on his plate as a second round pick. But he's gonna be playing up real early, and you know, he's gonna have a chance to make his mark.
Jeff, were there any other draft classes that you'd really loved? I mean, like with each team, I always saw like some sort of a hiccup. I was questioning the Saints for a little while. Then they took a couple of solid players. They had Shaquem Griffin and Trey Flowers, and then they take a punter in the same round. And I'm just like, come on, Seattle! I thought you were doing well here. You were doing better. You reached on Penny, I thought, in the first round. And then you're continuing to punt on the offensive lineman. Oh, but then you took a couple of nice defensive players that I liked. You know, they'd be nice depth guys for you to help develop into your defense. And then you go back into the punter. It's like, Seattle, what are you doing, man? I liked Detroit. I thought Detroit had themselves a nice weekend, and I thought that, you know, there's a couple of teams that you could go ahead and look at and see overall some pretty good draft classes. What were some of your favorites?
One I'll give you is I actually kind of like what the Giants did. Look, I mean, Saquon Barkley at two. I mean, this is normally a position like, you know, a good team who had a year that they slipped up and ended up early in the class, and you know. I equate it to maybe like, you know, I mean, if you look at like Ezekiel Elliott, like, and you had everything else in place and he fit. Barkley, you know, your quarterback's 37 years old. You know, a running back, when you think maybe it could be Eli's last run, it definitely, you know, I didn't get the pick. But then you come and you get Will Hernandez right out of the gate on day two. Absolute, another one. This was a great guard class. Mm-hmm. Just another bully. Now you look at the left side, you know, of that line, obviously brought in Solder from New England. Has a solid-looking, you know, left side of the ball right now. Lorenzo Carter out of Georgia. Question is, what are you going to do with him? Are you going to see if he can take all these athletic traits and turn into some sort of pass rusher? Or are you going to use him as a linebacker who can cover a little bit? He's really athletic, so that's interesting. NC State obviously was loaded on the defensive line, so that was a nice selection there with B.J. Hill. Now, they needed a quarterback. You know, you're not going to sell me on, you know, you're not going to sell me on Davis Webb. And even still, if Eli, this is his last year, you want more than just one guy. And most likely none of these guys are playing anyway, so you're going to want one more. I think getting Loletta where they did was fantastic. I knew that they were really, really high on him, and there was talks that he was going to go. They had him top 75 on their board, so I'm sure they were thrilled to get him in the fourth round. And came around again with another solid defensive lineman with some decent athletics, home, some decent production, and R.J. McIntosh. I think the Giants, with a limited amount of picks that they made, I think, you know, the Giants' jokes have been pretty good for a while, but I think they kind of got everybody to shut up for a little bit because they put together a solid group with the selections they made.
Yeah, I think that the more you talk about New York there, I forget about the fact that they really – yes, I'm still going to question a running back at second overall, but at the same time, what they did after that was amazing. So, there were a lot of teams that did some things. And I think that Buffalo overall heading back to the Bills here, but like as much as I may disagree with the Josh Allen pick, it was their quarterback. They were convinced it was him, and this is what this regime is going to be tied to. Tremaine Edmonds was a great. They saw it and they just went up and got him because of the fact that they saw he was sliding. They knew they still had 22. The fact that they were able to keep 22 and then use it to get a guy like Tremaine Edmonds, and then Harrison Phillips in the third round there, right at the tail end of it. I think that the corners that they took, it seems like a pretty solid way to go about things. I'm not sure about the receiver from Clemson there, but you know, but then you see, though, that Wyatt Teller, that's a great pick for them, too. I think the Bills, they did a decent job here for me. I'm not going to go ahead and complain about it too much because, again, I think that overall they did fine, and now Rasmus Dahlin getting the Sabres makes me feel a little better about everything.
No, well, I mean, if you look at this at the end of the day, look, Josh Allen is eventually going to be the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Tremaine Edmonds, at 19 years old, could be a guy that plays linebacker for you guys for 12, 13, 14 years.
Cool.
I mean, it's still, I mean, and the only thing with Edmonds, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, is at 19 years old, look, the kid's gigantic to begin with. Could he grow a little more? I mean, could he end up where, you know, maybe there's some pass rusher to him, too? it's really interesting because, look, we don't have many guys 19 years old. I mean, this is a first. So, I mean, he could get even a little bit bigger. Harrison Phillips, this guy, is going to start. You don't talk about interior D linemen getting damn near 90 tackles a season. That's insane. Johnson and Neal are nice developmental guys. If anything, you've got a nickel. You know, guys who can play in the nickel and dime. Teller, look, the only thing that was hurting Wyatt Teller with the rest of this guard class is there wasn't much athleticism to him. And, look, you go put on the tape, it's fantastic. He's a bowler. He's a beast. But, at the end of the day, we really care how athletic our guards are. I personally don't, so I love the Teller selection. McLeod, there's some returnability there, which is kind of interesting because we're probably about 2 years away before kick returns and punt returns don't exist in the NFL. But, you look at what, Clemson's offense did, and they kind of kept things fun and a little different. Use, some spread concepts and you're just getting athletes in space. And McLeod certainly can do that type of stuff. Austin Prohl, injury bug comes with him. But not a terrible wide receiver. Maybe you got a guy who makes the roster there in the seventh round. Me personally, if I was Buffalo, seeing that, St. Brown kept falling like he was, mm-hmm. I definitely, and I don't care if his dad is like LaVar Ball or, Equanimous St. Brown apparently told the coaches at Notre Dame, don't even ask. I'm never covering a kick. I'm never covering a punt. Don't ask. It's a little different when I'm paying you. So, that's the guy that I really think Buffalo probably should have looked to get on there and obviously laid out day three.
Yeah, that was so strange watching St. Brown and even Deion Kane at a lesser extent falling the way that they were. So it was a little head scratching, but at the same time made for it allowed Nate, Joe, and I to keep droning on through day three. So
no worse than a guy like Quentin Meeks not even getting drafted. Which the only thing I can think with Quentin Meeks is there's got to be something on the medicals because Stanford is one of the few universities in the nation where the players are better people than the student body. So. I mean, it's got to be something medical that, some people had, obviously, alarmed a lot of teams because he was a guy with a top 75 grade, who most people projected as a starting cornerback two one day. So that one is just one, I just got to assume it's medical. That's the only thing I can come with on Quentin Meeks.
All right. Jeff, thanks for taking the time, bro, and it's always fun talking with you.
Did you guys order your Josh Allen jersey yet, or?
No, I'm going to...
We'll wait on that.
I'm going to wait on... Well, actually, the thing about...
get myself a Tremaine Edmonds jersey.
Yeah, I might get a Tremaine Edmonds jersey because I...
You can wear that one for a while.
You can wear that one for a while. And number 49 is my number. I wear that for hockey. So that's my number, man. That's my jam. I love this guy even more.
It kind of worked out perfectly. Look, exactly. All the Bills fans, look, you can't cry about it. What's done is done. Look, just hope maybe your front office is one of the smarter ones in the room and they know something we don't, but, it'll be interesting to watch. I know Jets fans and Browns fans are real excited that they didn't get the Josh Allen bomb. But, hey, should make for some even more fun tailgates for the Bills, guys.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. Of course. They always will be. And, I'm back to feeling better, though, that the Sabres somehow managed to fix things here for once.
But, come on. I know all these people. Well, if they select this guy, I'm out. Yeah. All right. Let me know the next guy who's actually out when their team selected somebody. Get over it at the end of the day. Look, you're still going to fly in your 16 Sundays. You're still going to make your wings. You're still going to have food.
Yep.
I know.
Now I'm hungry.
It is what it is, sadly. Sorry, guys.
No, you're fine, man. But, Jeff, thank you. Always appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and we'll be doing this again down the road.
Absolutely, fellas. Take care.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Jeff. That was Jeff Lloyd, Locked On Browns. He's always a good friend of all of ours over here at WGR. And, hey, he said it. What happened, happened. And at the end of the day, that's all I can say is I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling about this.
We're all going to
wearing the Star Wars T-shirt, I've got a bad feeling about this. That's not what it says, but I'm sticking with a theme here. People obviously didn't know I was wearing that until I said it. But again, I have a bad feeling about this, but at the same time, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I eat humble pie. I love pie. Pie's delicious.
Pie's good.
But again, this is, I'm a little bit more off the edge than I have been. Definitely less aggressive than from the video you took of me, Frank.
If people want to watch it, it's
not
on
suitable
my Twitter.
For work. Not suitable for work. There is
this
an expletive.
True. This is very true.
There is an expletive that I would not say neither on the podcast nor definitely not on the air.
The story behind the video.
Let's take the two perspectives here.
Yeah.
The Bills have traded up, and now
we are all freaking out.
I'm looking for the leak. I'm like, come on, it's Rosen. Please let it be Rosen. It might be Allen, but please let it be Rosen. Dear God. So I'm freaking out.
Yep.
And I've got. I'm also taking charge of the station's social media for the time.
Yes. Tweeting out all the picks.
I sent you your texts on Thursday night. Yep. I sent you your notifications on Thursday night, and I was tweeting from the station Thursday night. So that was my job at that moment. Before I would end up hosting the part of the WGR Sports Thunder. That was my job, was to let you guys know that weren't able to listen what was going on. So I'm looking, because I need to send this thing out.
And you turn to your left, and you know that my Twitter is open.
I know that Frank's Twitter is open, and he's got the accounts that are leaking things. He's following them right now. He's got it on the tweet deck. It's rolling and refreshing.
Yep.
Frank is not sitting at his desk. He was sitting right next to me in the newsroom.
He is
not at his desk.
Yes, I usually was. And then
there was a reason for this.
There was a reason for this, and that's where I come in. I'm on Twitter. Derek is doing his thing on his computer with WGR social media account and everything. He's taking care of all. They're making sure it's all ready to go when the Bills make their pick, because it was right after they traded up. I look on Twitter. I notice it's going to be Josh Allen. I look at that, I was going to say scream first, but I wanted your reaction.
Knowing what Frank is, he's a troll to me.
Yeah.
This is what friends do.
Yes. So, and to be fair, I was told at some, you know, before the Bills make their pick on, you know, or whatever, get it on video.
I forgot I told you that.
You did say that. So what I did was I grabbed my phone. I didn't do Snapchat. I just used the camera on my phone, put it to video, started recording, got up, walked. So I had basically...
You had snuck around me. I didn't even notice that.
So that I got basically the shot I got was you looking at my Twitter.
With my balding head.
And finding out and looking at the leak that it's Josh Allen. And you give the big... You scream, no, expletive. And once you did that, I stopped recording. And I cut it.
And if you want to watch that.
Cut it down. I did a quick cut. So it's about 10 seconds long. And
it's 10
posted
seconds.
It on Twitter.
It's 10 seconds. Don't listen to it at work if you want it. If you wanted to.
I mean, you can
follow
listen
him
to
at
it at
Frank
work
R. Curie,
if you want.
And it's there.
I mean, you can listen to it at work if you want. I just wouldn't have it loud.
Yeah. And it's pretty loud what I do. what a shock, right?
Yeah.
So, no. At first, I was very, very upset because the factor is
When I saw it, I put my hand over my mouth and was about to scream no. I was about to do it as well, but I knew I had to keep myself composed because I was the first one to see it. No one else around us had saw it yet.
And I ruined it for Joe. I ruined it for TJ.
Yep.
My boss heard it and
from his desk
and. To give you a little bit of the layout of what the studios look like, we were outside of the WGR studio in the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
But down the hallway and past some big doors, there are the main offices where our bosses sit, where the sales department is, everywhere. Everyone's desks are out there. Our boss, my program director,
through that.
My program director, Alan Davis, he heard me scream. From halfway down this building.
Yep.
To which he then had to walk down to me and say, you know, you got to keep your cool when you host tonight. You're going to have to keep your cool. You got to stay professional because this is their guy.
Which he was right.
And he's right. And I did. And I mostly have. I could still say that I'm not being held back to say that I don't like the pick. And I would have preferred Josh Rosen. I'm allowed to say these things. And it's not that I'm censoring myself either. I'm saying what I want to say. Is there more colorful versions of what I want to say? Yes. Am I going to hold back on that? Yes. Because, again, as much as I didn't like it, Josh Allen is the Bills quarterback.
Yep.
What can I do about it now? Demand a trade? I can't do anything. This isn't Madden. I can't deal them.
I mean, you can demand a trade. It's just nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's going to happen. I'm not quitting my job for this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes you just got to take your medicine and it tastes like crap. And if it goes wrong, well, we're doing this in 3 years, like Jeff said.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes right, I will dig into that humble pie. I'm not even going to say anything stupid at this point because I've learned a lesson from Jeremy with the flip-flop to Ryan to Nate tweeting that he would poop his pants purposely. I feel like it's a bad idea to say, if this doesn't work, I'll blank. Or if this does work and I'm wrong, I will do blank. Because guess what?
Just like...
You know what? Maybe I should jinx myself here, shouldn't I?
No, don't.
For the sake of the Bills?
Yeah.
You know what? For the sake of the Bills, just ask yourself that if you're listening. If for the sake of the Bills, would you do something stupid to yourself if it meant that you would be a guaranteed jinx? If I was able to guarantee it, I would do it.
Okay.
I would obviously keep it within the realms of reality. I'm not going to eat a flip-flop. That's just gastrointestinally going to kill me.
I mean, you could do it the same way that Jeremy did it.
I'm not copping out to a chocolate flip-flop.
I mean, come on. You didn't think he was actually going to eat a flip-flop.
No, but at the same time, I was wondering if he was actually going to do it.
No, he wasn't.
Like, I actually was thinking about it.
Even I knew from
because
the
he even said that day that he wasn't going to be that guy to be like, oh, it's a fake, da, da, da. And then he did.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you saw
but the, again, it's you because saw, it gastrointestinally was going to kill him.
You also saw the purposely poorly cut video.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was very purposely poorly
cut. It
was
very funny.
But
it was just funny.
But again.
Or, I mean, you could also be like the Cleveland radio broadcaster who said he would eat horse poop if the Browns drafted Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, guess what? These things happen.
He's gotta eat horse poop.
So now he's not going to do it. Come on. That's just gross. That's gross and demeaning. Just don't do it. Just chicken out of it. Keep your pride.
Didn't somebody from the Browns, was it Hugh Jackson? Did Hugh Jackson say he would jump in Lake Erie?
And he did.
Yeah.
So maybe I do need to do this, Frank.
You got all of this. You got Ryan saying he's going to quit if the Bills draft to Josh Allen. Well, to be
you
fair,
you can follow
he's
him
not...
at quitter underscore Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan Gates, job seeker.
Yeah, he literally posted his resume on his Twitter.
Oh, my God.
To be fair, he is saying, you know, I'm not quitting right now because I got to get a
he's
new
obviously
job.
Obviously got to get a job, but.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I don't want to lose him.
You don't want to lose him.
I don't want to lose him, especially over a quarterback.
Yeah.
But no. So maybe I should.
You know what? Even if he does, you know how famous he's going to be?
You know what, Frank, let's do this leftovers style. You're with me no matter what here.
Okay.
If I'm wrong about Josh Allen,
okay,
I will play catch in traffic in Niagara Falls Boulevard. I just need someone to throw me the ball, Frank. Do not lay me out to dry.
I will not leave you out
to dry.
Give
me a chance to at least avoid and get to the median.
What are the chances that we could get Josh Allen to do that, to be the quarterback for you?
Let's make it happen.
Can we make it happen?
Can we make it happen? Josh, if I'm wrong about you, you can endanger my life.
Yeah.
You know what? How's this? I'll go one step better. We could try to make this happen.
Okay.
Instead of playing in traffic where it would actually kill me. No, let's just make this hurt. I will catch a rocket from Josh Allen.
Okay.
Or attempt to catch a rocket from Josh Allen.
Sure.
If I'm wrong about you, Josh Allen, I will catch a bullet from you.
You have to run a slant route.
A 5-yard hitch. No, I'm just standing there for it. I'm not going to try to take this on the run. I'm just going to have to stand there and take it.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to cringe because I suck.
Well, don't worry.
I'm like, oh, God.
We'll wrap you.
Next thing you know, it's going to hit me in the midsection. Yeah. And I'm just going to be like,
we'll just, the only protection you'll have, too, is we'll just put a helmet on you.
No, I'm just going to get a pair of gloves and just do, I'll run in shorts.
We're going to at least give you a helmet, okay? We can't have you suffer another concussion.
No, because if I drop it and it hits me in the face, I deserve it. I mean, I'm probably going to drop it.
I
want
to see you get hit in the face, though.
If anything, I'll break my hand. Because I'm going to use my hands. Or I'm going to try to catch it with my body and it's going to break a rib or something. I don't know. All right, so Josh Allen, if you ever hear this, if I'm wrong, and I hope I am, I am looking forward to catching a bullet pass from you.
I hope you throw it like 70 miles an hour.
He can. There was 5 yards. I will take 4 steps. I will turn around, and that ball's coming at me.
Yeah.
All right? Let's make it happen. Because I want to.
I can make it. Like, I know a way to
I
make
want,
it worse.
I want
too.
To believe.
I know a way to make it worse, too, with just that.
How?
Jermaine Edmonds comes in from behind you and tackles you.
Look, man, I saw Knoxville.
Regardless, exactly.
I saw Johnny Knoxville get destroyed by Josh Allen trying to catch a slant pass. I mean, not Josh Allen. Jared Allen.
Jared Allen. Yeah.
By catching a slant pass.
That was where I thought of that. That just popped in my head like, oh, that'd be even worse.
The worst part is I'm stupid enough to do it. Is that the worst part of all of this? Is that I would put all full equipment on and I would let him just light me up for that.
Yeah.
There you go. Now you can light me out to dry. all right. So there it is. There's my stupid idea.
Stupid idea.
And at this point, now I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Because go Bills. At the end of the day, go Bills. I'm saying what I'm saying, but at the same time, I want to be wrong.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling about this, but I want to be wrong.
Yeah.
And why not? This is just how it is. And why not have fun with it? Why not endanger my body for a moment? Whatever.
Yeah.
It's just life.
Yeah.
Life kicks you when you're done. Life kicks you around no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to be hurting from life, might as well make it my way, right?
Yeah. Have fun with it.
There it is. This is the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer and Frank R. Curie. And,
oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be fun.
We have fun here.
At the end of the day.
We have fun.
Look, you may not like it, or I may not like it, or you may not like me not liking it. But at the same time, just respect whatever anyone has to say. I will hear you out about Josh Allen. I will see everything that's good about Josh Allen. And let's go. This is what sports is about to be.
Yeah.
It's about having fun, discussing things, going on the back and forth.
And the draft's always a crapshoot anyway. I mean, we assume he's going to sit.
Yes, I think he will.
We think he will.
And I think that's the best thing.
It will be the best thing for him to sit, have A.J. McCarron start, even have Nate Peterman be the backup. Yeah, develop the right way. He's got to develop. He has to. And he needs to. And he should.
And if it goes well...
Maybe he starts by the end of the year.
If it goes well and everything works out, I'm going to get laid out on a slant pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's cool.
I mean, to be fair, you got that. And if we were doing something for me, it would involve me.
Take a slap shot from Rasmus Dahlin.
Exactly. Or Ristolainen.
No, not even that. Just, you know what? You have to deal with him in a shootout one round.
Oh, God.
So that I'll have a concussion, you pull your groin.
Yeah.
It's an even bet. But who's wrong about Rasmus Dahlin, man?
No one. That's the thing.
Or are you just trying to help me by being part of the pain?
I'm saying in terms of, like, if the Sabres were not picking first and they were picking, like, fourth and they were going to take, like, either Quinn Hughes or – and maybe the second after draft they took, like, let's say Adam Boqvist, who I will probably compare is more of a closer, like, Josh Allen of hockey in this draft, where he's got this tremendous upside, but you have to be worried about it because there's the floor as well. And if I was wrong about Boqvist and he becomes, like, this fantastic player for the Sabres, then, yeah, I would have to, like, either take a slap shot from him or be in a shootout with him for, like, one or two rounds and completely embarrass myself and probably get hurt in the process as well.
Oh, boy.
That would be the same thing, but Rasmus Dahlin's a Sabre.
Rasmus Dahlin's a Sabre. Josh Allen's a Bill.
He's a Bill.
And this is going to be fun because
I'm okay
if everything works out in the end here, this is the coolest weekend in Buffalo history.
If everything works out,
this is the coolest weekend in Buffalo sports history.
This will be looked at as the best weekend. And Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott will look like geniuses for it.
And I'll look like a ditz.
And everyone who was negative about Allen will be looked at as, well, yeah, you
they
were wrong.
They will be happily wrong.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
And that's the thing. We'll all be happily wrong. And we want that to happen.
We want it to happen.
We want it to happen.
We want me to take a slam pass and get destroyed.
Yes. I will make sure it's on video.
What am I thinking? Of course it would be on video.
We'll all make sure it's on. There's going to be multiple cameras.
What am I thinking?
Because you're you.
Yeah. This has been the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
And thank you for listening on WGR550.com and on demand audio. Well, next step is Sabres. We get to look a little more into the hockey because
Dahlin's a Saber.
That's what we've got now. Because our focus will shift because the NFL draft's over. We have a lot of time to talk about this,
yeah.
And now we can talk about it as the team for training camp. But we're going to focus more on hockey first because it's going on. It's happening right now, and you know what? I'm feeling great about everything there because I mean. We were talking about this before on the podcast. There was an 18.5% chance that the Sabres' problems on defense would be fixed. And guess what, baby? 18.5.
It happened.
Bitches. Okay. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek.
I'm Frank.
And you know what they always say in Canada? Peace out!
Hang on, we're not done yet.
What do you mean we're not done yet? I got up. I'm going home.
The second round of the playoffs started.
All right.
Don't you remember?
Fine.
We have to make picks.
Fine.
I know the games are already started, but we have to make picks.
Okay, so we're not done.
We're not done.
You got your bonus post credits edition of the leftovers here.
Sure.
Oh boy.
Don't you remember? When the playoffs started, before the first round,
yes,
we made predictions.
Okay.
And we picked the Stanley Cup finalists.
Okay.
Now the second round started, we got to make second round predictions and Stanley Cup finalists.
Did you listen back? Did you realize how stupid I sounded?
Well, let's go over it. Okay?
The Leafs didn't win, so Boston won.
Boston won.
And I hate Boston so much.
I predicted Boston. I won that.
I hate Boston so much that I actually willingly picked the Leafs to win.
Tampa won. We got that.
Duh.
That kind of figured. Five games. Boston won in seven, so we have a Tampa-Boston series. Who are you taking?
I'm taking anti-Boston each time.
Okay. Okay, every time. I'm gonna stick with my prediction. I have Boston in the final. I'm going to go to the Bruins.
Ugh. I hope you're wrong.
Well, they did win game one.
I hope you're wrong.
Handily.
I hope you're wrong.
I'd like to see me be wrong, too.
They don't deserve another win.
I just have a gut feeling about Boston this year.
I hope Winnipeg stomps them.
Pittsburgh, Washington. I was wrong about Pittsburgh. I thought Philly might be able to give them trouble.
I was not.
You were not. So there you go. There's some revenge.
Here picked Dumbass to win over Washington.
Yeah.
But then again, they did the right thing after Grubauer went 0-2. They put Holtby in, and it kind of helped stabilize belief in the team again.
Yep.
And he's looking like Braden Holtby.
Yep.
But the bad news is about being Braden Holtby with the Capitals is it's the second round, baby.
And now you're playing Pittsburgh again. And you're down in the series again.
I would have picked it beforehand anyway. Pittsburgh's winning this series because Washington cannot get out of the second round. They continue to do these silly little things that Washington themselves. And guess what? Game one was no different. You were winning 2-0.
You blew it.
Because you're the Caps,
yep.
And you blow it,
yep.
In the second round.
Yep,
that's just what you do. And I feel bad for Ovechkin and Holtby and Backstrom and just, man, it just sucks for them. But
we're going Pittsburgh.
We're going Pittsburgh here.
Going Pittsburgh.
All right. So
the West, Nashville over Colorado. I told you Colorado would give them fits.
They'd give them fits, but I didn't think it was going to be anything of a problem, and it really wasn't.
It really wasn't. But you were saying that Nashville was pretty much going to walk over them and win in five games. I said, hang on. Nathan McKinnon's still a thing. He might win MVP, and Colorado is a much better team than last year. Even with John DeBerney, he had a good year. He might be able to keep them somewhat in this series. I'd say watch it go six games. It went six games.
All right.
I told you Colorado was better than you thought.
And you
Nashville was too complete of a team to lose this, to even have the series go seven.
But now Winnipeg, by the way,
stopping Minnesota.
One game from it being a sweep, and it was a pretty awesome game from Minnesota that day. But they also lost Zach Parise that game, and that was just like, come on, man.
Minnesota had about 5 good minutes in that series. And that won them game three.
That won them game three. It was
that was just
Winnipeg is amazing.
That. Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be the sweep of the series.
So,
of the first
Winnipeg,
round.
Nashville, we're not surprised.
And this is going to make me waver on my cup pick. I had Nashville. I'm taking Winnipeg because the Jets just look amazing.
Yep.
And it's not just because they won game one.
And they won game one.
It's not just because of that. They just look dangerous.
Yep.
And this is like one of those teams where you could see them stomp through everything. But they're going to have a hard time stomping through everything because
Nashville's in their way.
Not just Nashville. Vegas, San Jose.
That's
looks
a 1-1
like
series.
This is a fun series.
Yep.
Two teams that, you know.
Swept.
Two teams.
So
that,
they both
yeah.
got about the same time off.
Yeah, they both swept. And they're both looking like the Rochambeau here. Game one, the Sharks just forgot to show up. But then they make it up and they give the Vegas Golden Knights their first playoff loss in history. What the hell? It took them 6 games to lose a playoff game.
Their first one.
Like, come on.
I know.
Atlanta never won a playoff game.
Yeah.
And then / the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They just started winning.
The Jets won their first playoff game this year and now their first series as well.
They have as many playoff wins as Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yep.
That's messed up.
Yep. NHL's messed up. Vegas, San Jose, who do we got? I'm going Vegas.
I'm going the Knights because they're just so deep.
They're so good.
I want San Jose.
We obviously
because
all want
I want that first
Kane,
round
that
pick,
first.
And I can't
to be
bank
fair,
on Kane.
We still might. I can't bank on it, but you might because he looks so good with them. You have to remember, he looks so good that even if they lose, they may still re-sign
But
him.
The problem is, the catch-22 is the better he looks, the more money he commands. The more money he commands, if San Jose is not willing to give that to him,
I could totally
he can go
still
to unrestricted free agency.
Do it. I could still see them cough up at least $7 million for him if it means keeping him there. Because remember, San Jose is going to have the one big thing over other teams going into free agency with Evander Kane. They could offer him 8 years. No other team can do that.
Mm-hmm.
They can only offer him 7. So they could offer him the 8 years and give him just a little bit less. Remember, okay. It's the exact same thing with Steven Stamkos as to why he stayed in Tampa.
Right.
Tampa could offer him 8 years. No other team could do that.
And if you're going to unrestricted free agency at the age of, 26?
Mm-hmm.
You want long-term security. So that you might have a point here, Frank. Okay, so Vegas,
so
Winnipeg.
So we're looking at we both pretty much got the same.
Are we? We're pretty much in lockstep here.
Yeah, well, except Tampa-Boston. I have Boston-Pittsburgh as my
pretty much
final.
Lockstep.
You have Tampa-Pittsburgh, but we both have Vegas-Winnipeg as our final. As our conference final, what's our Stanley Cup? I'm going Vegas-Boston.
I'm going Winnipeg-Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So
we're
Vegas.
Both going opposite. I'm going to say Vegas does it.
Good God. Could you imagine the storm?
Could you imagine how happy Gary Bettman will be?
He'd probably be distraught. A brand new team wins the Stanley Cup. What a farce it looks like. It also makes that Seattle transaction looked pretty shiny, but
it makes Seattle look even better.
I think GMs don't mess around this time because Florida gave them. Florida, a team who missed the Stanley Cup playoffs by 2 points,
mm-hmm.
gave them Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith.
And the coach.
And Gerard
Gallant.
Well, that wasn't explainable. They just fired him because they wanted
right,
to
but they
everything.
Also had, yeah, but still, they had no real good reason to fire him.
They had no reason to fire him.
Yeah. They only fired him because of analytics.
Yeah.
Which they don't even have anymore.
Yeah, the strange thing. They get rid of Gallant because he's so old school tough guy, no analytics
non-analytics.
Crowd.
Non-analytics.
And then they fire him, and then they get rid of everyone that is in the analytics crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Including the players that, by the way, he had before in Florida, like Marchessault and Riley Smith.
Yeah.
And why? What was Florida risking losing that they also gave them Riley Smith? Because everyone thought it would end up being Marchessault after they didn't leave him,
because
after they left him unprotected.
Because money. Riley Smith makes $5 million. And
They still left Marchessault unprotected.
I know. They're dumb because they prioritized their defense.
When, so what did they have to lose? What were they afraid of losing then?
Got me. Got me.
Well, it could be worse.
I don't know. But I can tell you this about Riley Smith. With Gallant as his head coach, he looks like a completely different player than when Gallant is not his coach.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. Like, he looked amazing his first year in Florida with Gallant. He looked incredible. Better than the 20-goal scorer on the Bruins when they won the President's Trophy in 2014.
Right.
He was the leading goal scorer on that team.
Got really?
Yeah. I think so. I'm pretty sure he was.
I forgot he even played in Boston.
Yeah, he was part of the Sagan trade.
Oh.
He was part of the Sagan trade.
Okay.
Yeah, he was...
All right.
He was part of what came back.
So there it is.
And then they traded him to Florida to cut to for salary cap reasons.
I think that teams get less stupid with the Seattle expansion. Yeah. That's what I think happens.
And then he looks even better in Florida with Gallant. And then Gallant gets fired, and he just looks... not great, and it becomes, well...
He earned that contract with the play that he had under Gallant, and then he doesn't look like that player anymore.
Yep.
So they get rid of him for cap reasons, and...
And they send him to Vegas at where Gallant is, and now he looks amazing again.
Well, some guys are system players.
Yep. Yeah.
Coach makes the player? All right, well, whatever.
Yep.
So there it is. I'm picking Winnipeg v. Pittsburgh and the Jets to take it all.
Okay.
I've
got Vegas,
Phil Kessel's
Boston.
Only a two-time
and you know what?
Don't do it.
Vegas wins.
Okay, good. I'd rather that than Boston.
Yeah.
I'd rather the NHL look like a laughing stock for having an expansion team win it right away than I would see the Bruins hoisting another championship. Because everything I hate is about Boston. They don't deserve another one for a long time. The Red Sox look amazing. Celtics lost Kyrie, so they're going to lose at some point. But they just advanced to the next round, too. And there's the Bruins. Oh, and there's that Tom Brady guy.
Yeah.
Go to hell.
Yeah.
Go to hell, Boston.
All right, now we're done.
Okay.
Now this is Leftovers Podcast. We are done.
Bye.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.